Calvary? Amen. Lord done anything good for you this week?
Amen.
Boy, sure good to me, I tell you that. Every time I turn around, His blessings are there. I mean, manifold blessing. Blessing from sources and things that you didn't even know could exist. And there they are right on your plate. And I thank God for every single one of them. I don't take them for granted. And I hope that you don't take them for granted. Brother Chris was looking me up a verse of Scripture. And if he's told me correctly, I'm going to read you one before I get to where I'm going. I guess I'll just read these whole 8 verses this evening. As you find your place in the book of Genesis this evening. Book of Genesis, chapter number 28, and we'll be there most of the night, with a few exceptions as we run rabbits, wherever the rabbit trail will take us to. But anyway, give you a few quick prayer requests. Sister Waylene's in the rehab hall now down at Wilkes Regional, and she is in room 228 doing her rehab. So let's continue praying for Sister Waylene. She's the only one right now connected to the church that's still in the hospital. Brother Donnie is at home. So let's just pray for Brother Donnie that God will just bless him. Sister Mary, so good to see you back. For those that don't know, Sister Mary's had a really hard few weeks months with kidney stones and had 3 lithotripsies in the last few weeks. And Mary, we've been praying for you. And let's pray for Sister Lynn Church. Lynn had her gallbladder taken out on Monday, and she started to church tonight and just couldn't quite make it. So I told her, remember Keela. And she didn't know what I was talking about, but remember Keela. Keela had surgery and tried her best and came right back to church. Didn't try. She did. And then ended up back in the hospital. So I told Miss Lynn, don't overdo it. I want you to be here when you can be here. But don't put yourself in danger or harm's way. How many of y'all tonight would commit to coming to revival every night if you can next week? Bless God, let's do that. I need it. You need it. We all need it. But sometimes it seems like when we call for revival, the crowd gets gone. I don't understand it. Back this revival up and get something from the Lord. If you'll come hungry, I guarantee you He'll fill you. Because He said that blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. What did it say, Brother Derek, beyond that? What does it say? They what? What's that word, second word? Shall. They shall be filled. And that's what we need tonight. I'm going to read the 61st Psalm. You said, why'd you have us turn to the book of Genesis 28? Because that's where I'm going to be preaching. And I'm going to bring you a message tonight, if the Lord is my helper. And it's going to be on this thought. I'll take the scriptures from the 28th chapter. But it's on this thought. Rest on the rock. Just simply rest on the rock. There's anybody in here that's ever been in a hard time, been through brokenness, been through the bad report, been through whatever circumstance? Aren't you ready for that rest? The Bible said there remains a rest. And I'm looking forward to that rest. I'm hungry for that rest. I told my wife coming up the road, I said, I just want to run away. I want to run away. I didn't say just that. I said, or find a bridge. You say, what are you going to do? You're going to run away or you're going to jump off a bridge? At times, that's the way I feel. But I know I'm just talking out of my flesh and in my head. But sometimes life just inundates us with problems. And the Bible says there remains a rest. Amen. I'm longing for that rest. This world as it stands, Brother Derek, has nothing to comfort us. The world has nothing for us. It demands more from us. It's always pull, pull, give, give. The government that I work for demands more and more and more and requires more and more and more of myself. And Brother Derek, I don't know at times if I've got any more to give them. I've always got enough to give my Lord, but I'm afraid that if we ain't real careful, we'll give more to the secularism and we'll give more to the humanism. We'll give more to the things that don't matter rather than to the things that do. But in Christ, there remains a rest. I want you to see this. I'm going to read this passage because it's going to get us to that rock. Folks, if you don't know what the rock is, that rock is Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians that they all drank from that same spiritual rock. What's the next part of that verse? And that rock was Christ. I'll read this 61st division of Psalm and then we're going right over to the scripture. I want you to hear what the psalmist David said here. He says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever, and I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me mine heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. If I was taking the text verse out of that, it would be the second one, in that it said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Aren't you glad that we've got a place of refuge, a hiding place, a place, Brother Tam, that's sure and steadfast? If you go somewhere that's not steadfast, that's not stable, you're on a slippery slope. You're on that's unsure. And I don't like being on unsure footing. I watched some of those Olympics that just come through here a little while back. Brother Charles, you see those speed skaters, and then you see those synchronized skaters, and those that would I don't know what you call it. It's skating. It's figure skating. They're doing the little twists and turns. They're doing all that stuff, Brother Preston, on a blade about that wide. And they're going like 80 miles an hour on that thing. And I'm like, man, that's some unsure footing for me. Does anybody here do that? God bless you if you do. And if you haven't broken bones, consider yourselves lucky. But if you're on a rock, Brother Tam, you're in construction. The Fords are in construction. What's the primary thing if you're going to start a foundational project is what? Making sure you're on what? On a rock. If you don't have one, what's your daddy do, girls? He pours one in there. They call those footers. And they put in rebar. They reinforce that rock. Well, bless God, God's word is sure enough. And it's propped up the rock. I mean, that word is sure. It's steadfast. It's unmovable. It's there. It's forever settled in heaven. Brother Tam, a lot of people are wondering about God's will. Should I do this or should I do that? Let me tell you this. If it's God's will, it will be backed up by God's word. And let me tell you this, some of you that's having a problem with God's will, I bless God, if it's contrary to God's word, it's not God's will. Go ahead and mark it down, scratch it off, forget that idea or that notion. If you're toying around with an idea and that, I don't know if I should do this or do that, I'm just not sure that's God's will. Does the Bible address it? And if it does, what's it say about it? And if that's it, then go with it. If God says don't do it, then don't do it. Somebody did something to me a while ago and I was wondering. I saw Brother Ken. Was you looking at that? My wife's looking at that. Which one of you knuckleheads stuck at my pocket a while ago? Go ahead. One of y'all, I see Troy hanging his head. Now you see, the devil used you to become a distraction. Put that in here. I saw everybody looking at my pocket, Tam. That's all it takes. It's one little thing. A little bitty piece of paper and everybody looking at it. Troy, shame on you. In the 28th chapter of the book of Genesis tonight, do y'all know the story pretty much of Jacob and Esau? Y'all know the story of Isaac has a couple sons, and that one's a heel grabber, one's what is he? He's a supplanter. He is a trickster. He is a schemer. I've always had a wonder about that, brother. Why would God bless the trickster? Have you ever thought about that? Why would God bless the supplanter? Why would God? But anyway, tonight, as we're going to be into that story about Jacob and Esau, just a little bit, and we see Jacob taking a journey now. Whether he's fleeing from something or he's fleeing to something, Jacob is in flight. I don't know if he's running from his past, and there might be somebody here tonight that's running from their past. Every time they stand up and look around, there's some kind of a shame or guilt or some kind of a reproach staring at them. Maybe it's some kind of deep regret that they've got. Maybe it's something in their past that just keeps coming up and haunting them. And it seems they're trying to get away from whatever that is that troubles them. And Brother Tam has a whole lot of people running from a past. Let me tell you, there is no hiding place except that you run to Jesus. There is no other place to go. And we see Jacob in this 28th chapter. He was told to go down to Paddan Aram and to pick a wife down there. And then we see Esau, and he's like, wait a minute, how come Jacob's going down there? And it's a beautiful story, but we're primarily looking at the life of Jacob. Have y'all ever heard the term Jacob's ladder? Really, that wasn't Jacob's ladder. You know whose ladder that was? That was God's ladder. caused a deep sleep to come upon Jacob, and he shows him this vision, this dream, this ladder going from heaven to earthward. I don't know exactly, and we would probably differ by 200 different means tonight, exactly what that ladder means. But it shows me that there is access to God. How many of you have ever, and I might have done it, I hope that I haven't, but referred to your husband as being your rock? Or referred, I know you probably did, because I think I remembered you saying that your mother, when she passed, boy, my mama was my rock, or she was the rock of our family. You might have even said that Brother Bobby was your rock or whatever. And you meant no disrespect unto God. You just meant that that was somebody very, very precious in your life. Well, let me tell you, there's nothing more precious than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is our rock. Let's stand and give reverence to the reading of God's Word, the Scriptures tonight that I'll be using right here in the 28th chapter. And like I said, the message title tonight, if the Lord will help us, would just simply be to rest on the rock. We find out in the Scriptures, and I don't know how much of this to read, but I'll start out in 28:1. The Bible said, "And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take of the wife of the daughters of Canaan, but arise and go to Padan-Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee there a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan-Aram unto Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, and the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother. And when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan-Aram to take him a wife from thence, that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan-Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac, his father, then went Esau into Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. And if I got any of those words wrong, just bear with me. I was educated at East Wilkes High School rather than at West Wilkes, or wherever you might have been dumbed down by the public school system. And the Bible said, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. Now listen, we're all somewhere between Haran and Beersheba. We're all in here tonight. We're somewhere between heaven and earth. We're all right here, and we're all on this journey. Whether you choose to believe it or not, we're on a journey. We are on a pilgrimage, if you will. And you're not where you're always going to be. Tomorrow, you're going to be somewhere different. Spiritually speaking, physically speaking, and you've heard me say it a million times, we'll never meet just like this again. That's why every service is so, so very important. We just don't meet the same way every time. Did y'all enjoy Sunday service? Was that not something special? How in the world, Brother Kippy, could somebody leave here after having sat under such a strong spiritual draw? I mean, the Lord was in the house, and He was so strong in here that, man, my heart was grieved for those that might have left without coming to know Him as their personal Savior. Why was that so important? Because they may not get a chance. May not meet like that again. That service was special. This one could be special, and it's special in its own right and way. But man, whenever the Lord shows up, we need to act. Miss Ann, we need to grasp these situations and just let God love on us and hug on us. But here we are, we're getting ready to get into the text scripture tonight. The Bible said, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and of the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and he said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had made for his pillows, set it up for a pillar, poured oil upon the top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and I will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Brother Troy Behrens, will you ask God to bless our scripture reading? Amen. As you're being seated even this evening, let me just say this really quickly. When darkness sets in, go back to verse number 11. When darkness sets in to your life, and it will. Anybody ever been in darkness? Amen. Anybody ever sat in darkness? I think we all have at times. But when the darkness sets in, I don't care what the darkness is, whether it is a diagnosis that you were not expecting. Maybe that thing was a sucker punch to the gut and it just took the very sap out of you. It just took all of your energy and you were not ready for that. Bless God, it might not even be physical. It could be financial. It could be a physical. It could be health related. Then again, it could be a very spiritual battle that you're undergoing. And bless God, if anybody here tonight has never been hurt during a church battle or a church hurt, then bless God, praise God for it, thank Him for it, and hang on, because it ain't going to be long. And I promise you, you will get hurt in the church house. It happens to every one of us. It's happened to me a multitude of times. But Brother Derek, you did not see me take my towel and throw that towel in. Bless God, my God's bigger than the church hurt. My God's bigger than that darkness that shrouds my life. And bless God, even in the times of my darkness, bless God, I can grab myself a stone and make myself a pillow out of it, and I can rest on the rock. I promise you that, bless God, if you'll just grab yourself a rock in the darkest of your days, my friends, you can rest in the rock. You can rest on Him. You can rest in Him. And you can be assured, bless God, Brother Tam, that rock is going to be exactly what you need. I've been camping many, many times, and this right here, let's just let this thing be a stone for a minute. And y'all look around here. It's a good-looking rock, but I've never seen one when I went camping that I thought that thing was soft enough for me to pillow my head on. I just don't see that. I can't imagine picking up a great big piece of granite or quartz and laying my head on that thing and that thing being very comfortable. I'll roll up a sleeping bag. I'll roll up a towel. If I ain't got that, bless God, Brother Tam, I'll pull up a shoe or something. Anything's going to be softer than picking my head up and laying it down on some piece of hard rock. But my friends, you can rest in Jesus. He is that rock. He is that sure foundation. And here we are, and Jacob is in flight. Like I said, whether he's running from Esau or whether he's running to something. And I told you a while ago, there's a whole lot of people running from something. They're running from a past they can't get away from because it always haunts them. They're running from something that they did. They're running from a guilt that they bear. They're running from a shame that's associated with some past problem they got. And bless God, you can't get away from that. My friend, you don't have to let it define you, though. You don't have to let that past keep coming up to you. Bless God, you can rest in the rock. You can do that. I promise you that. And it could be that you're running towards something. He's going down there with a charge from his daddy, the blessing of a father, and he's going down there, brother. He's going to pick himself up a wife when he gets there. You might be charging so hard toward marriage. And I'm going to use my... I'm sorry, Macy. Is there anybody else in here engaged? We've got one back here. Yeah, look at that. You weren't even shy about that. Woo! I finally found one that was as desperate as I am. Woo! No, he's not. He's probably not as desperate, but I mean, you. That didn't go well, did it? I'm sorry, that didn't go well. I'll use them. But you could get so focused on charging headlong toward that future event, and you could be going headstrong toward that. I can't wait to get married. I can't wait to get 16. I can't wait to get 18. I can't wait to get 21. I can't wait to get retired. I can't wait for this, and I can't wait for that. Brother President, you can get so caught up, not in running from stuff, such as your path, but you can get so hard running towards stuff that you forget even that now that you're in the moment, and you're missing some of the most beautiful things in life. Brother Westcott, I'm living, I hate to even say this, in a Baptist church. My best life now. I'm living it. Westcott, we can sit in heavenly places down here. Yes, my best life is right now, and it's found in Christ Jesus. It's found only in Him. Westcott, I've got life, but I've got life eternal, and I get to live it down here. Just a little piece of heaven on this side of earth. How wonderful is that? Let's not get so big chasing after some future event or some future dream or some future aspiration that we forget where we're at right now. I have a feeling that someday, who's got their phone close by? Find me one. Chris, I know you're never within 6 inches of yours. We walk through life like this. We sit across from each other at the restaurant like this. We drive down the road like this. I'm telling y'all the truth. If you don't do it, if you tell me you don't do it, I'm going to tell you, let me see your phone. We do that. And I'm afraid that sometime we miss some of the greatest blessings of life because we're looking about what we're going to do. We're checking appointment calendars and date books. We're waiting for that revival next week. Preacher, I can't wait. I just can't wait. I just can't wait. I just can't wait. Pope's coming back. We're going to get the Pope back. My God, I can't wait to hear the Pope. I can't wait to hear him again. What about now? Pope ain't with us. What about tonight? What about last Sunday, whenever God showed up? I'd rather have the Lord showing up, Miss Jan, than have Pope. A Pope can come every day. Brother Stephen, I love that man of God. I love his humility. I just love his testimony. I love his wife. I love their ministry of their family and the outreach. But bless God, if Brother Pope shows up, but God does it, we gain nothing by Brother Pope being here. We gain nothing by him being here. But we can get so hung up and looking toward that revival. I can't wait for that revival. What happens about right now? What if that lost person doesn't come back next Monday night or Sunday night or Tuesday night when the revival's going on? What if they were on here tonight? And the fact that they were going to get saved was predicated upon your testimony that you didn't share because you said, well, they've heard it before. Let's get back to scriptures. Jacob's running. Jacob's found a place. The sun's setting on his day. Darkness enshrines him. And he picks a stone. Look at that verse number 11. He picks a stone. A man and his hanky are so soon departed. Oh, Chris, did you use that? I want to thank Miss Regina Badgett, Gary Badgett, Cole Badgett, Ann Badgett, Ann Blackburn. Lord have mercy. Tell Gary he owes you. Tell Gary that he owes you dearly. I want to thank them for the handkerchiefs. Ever so often I forget one, and I'll reach under here, and without fail, there's a stack of clean handkerchiefs under there, and I appreciate that. And she said, Preacher, there'd be more if you'd bring them back. I've never brought one back, but I didn't think that she wanted them back after I used them. But thank you for that. See, it's the little things. The man that gives a cup of water, ain't the Bible said he gets a reward, a blessing for that? It's the little thing. I appreciate that. I didn't point you out to, yeah, I did, to pin roses. I'd rather give them to you now than lay it on your casket. Thank you for that. Here we are, the Bible says, and he went upon a certain place, and I believe every one of us has got a certain place. I don't know where yours is at. I've got a certain place. It's where the Lord, Brother Kenny, usually just speaks to me. I heard you mention your certain place. You've got places by the brook. You've got places by the creek. You've got places that you just go. The Bible says that Jacob has gone to a certain place. Ryan, I believe that if it been anything, if he just said, and Jacob went somewhere. No, the Bible said he went to a certain place. There's a certain place that God's got for you that he would like to meet with you and you with him. Well, Jacob is there. He has gone to this place. And while he's there, God does not disappoint him. The Bible said, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night. And because the sun was set, he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows. Now, that's multiple and that's plural. Does anybody in here like to sleep with a pillow under their head? Does anybody here like to put one between their knees? Is that not great? Having one between your knees, it takes the pressure off of your hips. And I like to put one right kind of in my little midriff right here. I don't know why, but I do. I like one shoved in there. Maybe it's to keep this fat roll up. I'm not sure what it is. But I like that. But the Bible said that does it not say plural? Does it not say stones? Let me tell you. Bless God, here he was, and the Bible said that there he was, and he made stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down for that place to sleep. But then I want you to see in verse number 18, the Bible said he took stones. Is that not what it said? He took stones. But I want you to look at verse number 18. The Bible said, and Jacob rose up early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put for his pillows. It said he took the stone. I want you to see something, Brother Chris. In the hardness, in the firmness, in the unadulterated trust that you put in him, you can put your trust in him. And I want to show you something here. I mentioned this in the prayer room, Brother Tam. Y'all know the story of Samson and Delilah. And the Bible said that trickery after trickery, Delilah was trying to get that wherein his great strength lie out of this man by the name of Samson. And he wouldn't tell it, wouldn't tell it, and wouldn't tell it. And then finally he did tell the story. He told Delilah, he got a cheap haircut, and the next thing you know, the Bible said he jumped up as he had aforetime. And he shook himself that the fetters may fall off of him. And they didn't fall off. But some of the saddest words that I think I've read in my King James Bible were that, Brother Kenny, when it said that he wist, W-I-S-T. Or he knew not. The Bible said he wist not, Brother Tam, that the Lord had departed from him. Now how sad would that be, Brother Derek, that the Lord, you are so far from him. He's always been a part of your life. He's always blessed your ministry. He's always blessed your marriage. He's always blessed your household. And bless God, Brother Kenny, you've never been a day without, since you got saved, about his blessing and how good that he's been to you. But how would you like to be so far removed from where you're supposed to be and where you're supposed to be in Christ Jesus that you don't even realize that he's gone? That's where Samson was at. He's living so wicked and so loose that he didn't even know that the Lord had departed from him. But here we see Jacob. Like I said, it's a polar opposite, Brother Chad. Look what it says in verse number 18. What a beautiful picture here. And I'm telling you, Brother Chris, rest on that rock. Because here's what it says. And Jacob rose up early. I'm sorry, I told you it was in verse number 18. It's in verse number 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. Look at those next few words. And I knew it not. Could it be possible, the same as the Samson mentality, that the Lord would depart from me and I didn't even know it? Could it be that God's here in every service? And I mean, he's blessing me and he's blessing the one sitting beside you. And you've got tears rolling down your neighbor's face. And you see tears rolling down your wife's face. And bless God, your neighbor back here is going, and there, you can't help it. But you're sitting there just like this. What? What's wrong with Tam? Why is he... Oh, why is Mary Doris back here going whoop, whoop? Why is everybody crying? Why is everybody sniffling? And how come these Kleenex boxes are empty? How come everybody's on? And I'm sitting here dry-eyed. I mean, there's nothing there. Brother Tam, I'm going to tell you, when you're like that and everybody around you's got something going on, you might want to check up. There's something for everybody in every service. If you're wayward walking and you are playing the part of the prodigal, my friend, let me tell you, there's going to be some chastisement for you. If you're a son, bless God, there's going to be something that's going to gently persuade you to go back to Father's house. And if you're here and you're bereaved at heart and you've had a hard day and circumstance of life, and like I said, the diagnosis and the darkness has just come in and enshrined you, bless God, let me tell you, there's some comfort coming for you tonight. It'll be something. It'll be saying or a message. It'll be something's going to be in there to comfort you. But if you're here lost, Brother Anthony, there's an evangelical tone to every message. The cross is preeminent in every message. You said, not in this message. We're preaching in the Old Testament about the rock. I've already told you who the rock is. And we know what happened. That rock became my pillow. That rock, Brother Tam, became my resting place. And I get to pillow my head upon the rock. It's from the heart that the issues of life come, am I right? Where do those things come out? Through your mouth. Where's your mouth? Part of your head. It's in here that the devil plays tricks with us. It's in here. The devil tries to infiltrate your mind, but the Lord's working in your heart. And that mind is fleshly. The heart is godly if you're saved by Him. And that enmity is always there. There's a warfare going on. And instead of seeing the surety and the steadfastness and the comfort of resting in the rock, Brother Tam, you just see it as another hard place. Man, here we go again. Another hard and difficult place. Jacob saw something between laying his head and raising his head. The Bible said in verse number 11 that he lay his head down. And then in verse number... Now I've lost... Falling apart. In verse number 11, he pillowed his head on those rocks. In verse number 16, he raised his head off of that. And he said, surely the Lord was in this place. I didn't even know it. I knew it not. But what happened in his dream, Brother Tam, should be the hope and aspirations of dreams of every Christian. That God would show us through our moments with Him that there is a place that reaches from here to there. There is a place that takes us from here to where He is. And bless God, where He is right now, Miss Judy, is He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. And that's where He's going to remain. Oh, once in a while, yes, He does stand up. Because the Bible said that at the stoning of Stephen, bless God, it was my dear Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that stood up and acknowledged that the Saint Stephen was coming home. Now, Jesus stood up, Brother Tam, to recognize that. And He might have even saluted over the bowels of heaven and said, Father, that's one of ours, He's coming home. But right now, He's there as an interceder, an advocate, a go-between. And bless God, it might be hard when you pillow your head, but when you wake up, just know that whenever He was preparing that ladder that Jacob would see, He was saying, Brother Chris, I'm preparing a way from here to there. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, what did He say? He said, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And my friend, you ought to be able to rest in that. Amen. You ought to be able to rest in that promise. Why? Because it was spoken by Jesus. And who is Jesus? He is my rock. We can rest in the rock, Brother Tam. How many times you had to pillow your head on a rock? Because you were crying. You didn't know what else to do. Every time these diagnoses that hit us come your way and mine, I'm telling you what, Brother Tam, they strike fear in us. But aren't you glad that through a few prayers, a little supplication made unto God, you can rest in the rock. And then when the report comes back, said, it was just a little scare, but God's got this and everything. Good man, you can rest in that. Amen. You can rest in it, my friends. Wow, there's a lot in here tonight. I ain't going to get this thing told. But some of you are here, but you're not healthy. I'm not talking about cancer. I'm talking about spiritually. You're here, but you're not healthy. Spiritually, you're not healthy. You've got all kinds of problems. Just as this body can get infirmities, my friends, your spiritual body can get infirmities. Those things that take up root in there become cancers unto us. You said, why'd you pick cancer? What happens when you get cancer? And then, where's Miss Sam at? Sam, we're helping in the children's church. She's probably downstairs. Miss Sam here? She was in the choir. She's downstairs. Even as Brother Tim was diagnosed with bone marrow cancer, he's gone to get those treatments. You'll know Brother Tim's not here tonight. Why? Because Tim is battling cancer. He gets the treatment. As soon as you start to feel better, you know what happened, Brother Paul? When you start to feel better, it's time for another treatment. Jan knows. She's been there. So what I'm saying is, he's focusing on cancer. He's focusing on beating that. His body's run down. Let me tell you, whenever something comes into your heart as a Christian, spiritually speaking, it can leave you unhealthy. Why? Because the hatred, the bitterness, the envy, the discontentment, the discouragement, the depression, all these things that can come against us, they start to sap us of our energy. They start to take away from what we would be doing. Tim would be here. I promise you that. Tim would be here if Tim could be here. But Tim can't be here because of the cancer that is now in his body. And spiritually speaking, I said, some of you are here, but you're not healthy. That's how this writer, this Moses, I suppose that it was, that wrote the first five books of the Bible. So Moses had penned it down, that the Bible said that Jacob rose up his head from his pillow and he said that the Lord was here, but I didn't know it. Could it be that because you're spiritually unhealthy, because you are spiritually deprived of what you really need to be focusing on, that whatever it is, be it hate, be it envy, be it unforgiveness, you're just not going to forgive. You're going to hold grudges. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. You could be a busybody. You could be any thousand things, but it's sapping you of your spiritual energy. He was here Sunday. If you were here Sunday and you felt him in here, say amen. Now, I'm not going to ask you that if you were here Sunday and did not feel him to say anything. But if you weren't feeling, could it be that you're past feeling? Is that a passage of Scripture, Brother Chris, that they were past feeling? You better believe it's in your King James Bible. They were past feeling. Could it be that you're unhealthy, spiritually speaking, and you didn't even know he was here? Could it be that he was in this place, but I knew it not? My friends, I've been there. I've been in the service when everybody's shouting, but I'm sitting over here with my head hung down. Troy, why is it like that? It's because there's something going on that's leaving me a little spiritually unhealthy today. I've got a common cold, spiritually speaking. I've got the flu, spiritually speaking. I've got mumps, measles, and rubella. I've got all kinds of spiritual problems. And the Lord was in this place, as it said in the latter part of that, and I knew it not. Could it be that you're here, but you're not hearing? Is that a possibility that you're here but you're not hearing? Brought you something to prayer room. How many times your wife said something to you and you agreed to it? Don't even know what you agreed to. But you said, yeah. Why are you poking Ken in the ribs? Why are you doing this? Ken, in other words, we need to do better listening. Because we're here, we're not hearing. We're just not tuned in. Could it be, Brother Tam, that those that are sitting in here and they said, surely the Lord was in this place, but I didn't know it. Could it be that we've got a problem with our hearing? Brother Derek, we didn't hear it. I mean, the message was preached and I just didn't hear it. I was not tuned in. My heart was somewhere else. Could it be that the Lord was here and you weren't helped? Huh? Could it be that the Lord was in the house and you didn't get any help? I'll tell you what, you can't get anything out except that you put something in. Where's my bankers? Go ahead, Brother Jake. Raise your hand now. Be a proud state-employed credit union banker. I got bankers. I got Lindsay back here. She's a banker. I got other bankers in here. Lindsay, could I come up to your state-employed credit union, walk in there and say, Lindsay, I want to draw out $10,000. Lindsay's going to say, okay, what's your account number? Well, I don't have an account. Well, then what makes you think you could walk into my branch of this bank and make a withdrawal? Well, I want it. I don't care how bad you want it. You don't have an account here. You got to be putting something in. Brother Tim, I'm glad my old account was settled long ago. And bless God, I've got an account that I can go to when I need something. And bless God, he won't deprive me of that. He loves me. And bless God, the Bible said, Brother Jody, that he would supply my every need according to what? His riches in glory. And guess what he owns? He owns it all, Brother Troy. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And as Brother Jack Osborne used to say, every tater in them, he owns it all. And bless God, he gets to give me some once in a while, Brother Tim. But could it be here and you didn't get any help Sunday because he was in the house? Surely the Lord was in this place, but I knew it not. I didn't know it. You didn't get anything. Chris, was you here Sunday? Did you feel the Lord blow by? Feel that wind from another country? It's good news from a far country. So is water, water to a thirsty soul. So is good news from a far country. Did you feel that breath from another country? It's good, wasn't it? You know why you got something out? Because you had put something in. You sang for the glory of God. You shared your testimony whenever the Lord prompted you to share it. You got something out because you put something in. My friends, I'll try to hurry up. I'll go on down to verse number 17. It said, the Bible said he was afraid. You know, my friends, I want to preach a message on this sometime. I've not got there just quite yet. The Bible said he was afraid. Brother Kenny, you ever been afraid? Do you fear the Lord? Does anybody in America fear the Lord anymore? I'm telling you what, the fear of the Lord is a thing long gone. Nobody preaches it anymore. Everybody wants to talk about how God is love. And God is love. The Bible says that, Brother Charles. God is love. But everybody wants to say God loves you as you are. Yes, he does. He loves you as you are. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves us. Oh, you don't have to change a thing. Just come as you are. God loves you. Brother Tim, that's a lie being hatched out of hell, told by every pulpit that's not doctrinally fundamentally founded and rooted on this book. And just come. Just come. How come they don't preach on the wrath of God? Because there's the wrath of God would bring fear of God. And the fear of God is the beginning of what? Of wisdom and of knowledge. And bless God, to come to that, Brother Derek, would bring you to the knowledge that you're a sinner. And if it brings you to that knowledge that you're a sinner, you might then come to the knowledge that, bless God, because I am a sinner, I need a Savior. And that Savior, perchance, just might happen to be this man called Jesus. Bless God, he is the Savior. There is no chance involved. Bless God, to get a man lost, saved, you got to first get him lost. And nobody wants to hear about the wrath of God anymore. If I come in here and just preached on the wrath of God and the fear of God, 10 services in a row, every one of y'all going to start wondering, what in the world's he got going on? Could just be God trying to reach somebody. But here it is, and it said that he was afraid. And he said, how dreadful is this place? And this is none other but the house of God. Brother, he recognized that this is the house of God. This is what I've been looking for. This is what I've been hungering for. And what did he do, Brother Troy? He got a little oil out, did he not? He anointed that place, did he not? He said, this is the house of God. Wow. He said, let's call this place Bethel. Where's Brother Alan Freeman? Is he here tonight? Brother Alan taught a lesson on Bethel and El Bethel one time. I've never forgot it. Bethel means what? The house of God. What is El Bethel? The God of the house. I don't know who said that back there. Probably Buddy Perry. Buddy don't ever say anything. Brother Tim, if we're not careful, we'll worship the creation rather than the creator. And if we're not real careful, we'll start looking to the pastor rather than the one that saved that pastor's unworthy soul from hell. We'll start looking at how good the church is rather than how good God is. We'll start thinking about how good, man, that house of God up there, boy, that's a good house of God. We better be careful with how good this house of God is. We better start worshiping the God of the house rather than the house of God. But Jacob recognized what he had. He recognized where he was at. And I want you to see this. All brokenness, all shame, all past things that might be troubling him are now assuaged. They're put aside. They're abated. They're rendered useless to him right now. I'm in a good place. I'm right here in the presence of God Almighty. If we could ever get past all that past junk, don't look toward the wedding. Don't look toward some future event. Just realize where you are right now. Look at this. The Bible said in this is none other but the house of God in the latter part of 17. And this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at first. And Jacob vowed a vow and goes on down through there. And then in verse number 20, so in this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee the tenth. What's he saying? I said, I want to give back. I want to give back for what he's given unto me. Folks, it's not a burden to give back. It's not a burden to give back of my time. It's not a burden to give back of my tithe or my gift back to him. Brother Derek, that is a form of my worship unto him, Brother Tim. What shall I render unto him for all his wonderful benefits toward me? We can't pay him back. But bless God, the scriptures show what we should do. And if we don't do what we should do, he can require it and get it by the other way. Tonight, we're just about done. I'm just going to I'm going to beg you. I'm going to implore you. I want to beseech you. I want you to think about this just for a few minutes. Are you resting on the rock? You know where you were. Bubba, you know where you used to be. 10 years ago, 2 years ago, 2 months ago, or 1 week, or yesterday. You know where you were. You know what's back there. Miss Dot, you know what bothers you. You know what haunts you. I know what troubles me. You know what troubles you. You know what's lying in front of you for the most part. The Bible said, take no thought of tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to take care of itself. Sufficient of the evil of those. We need to be living right here in the presence of God. For a few minutes, would you just rest on the rock? For just a few minutes, can we just, maybe you said a few minutes. How about a few weeks? How about a few months? How about a few years? How about just that brief period of time, Brother Chris? Can you get to that point of rest on Jesus? Brother Jody, you fought some battles. I know your battles. Some of them, I don't know them all. I won't pretend to know them all. But bless God, you can rest on Jesus. Brother, you can rest on Him. He's steadfast. He's not changed through all this. And I'm glad that you're rooted and grounded in Him enough to not waver from what that book says. Chris, you're a young preacher. If you're not resting on Him now, I can tell you what, you won't be able to say 36 years from now that I was the pastor of that church for the last 36 years. You'll never make it in the ministry unless you rest on the rock. Preacher, you didn't make it 36 years without resting on the rock. Every one of us has got a story. Miss Jen, you've got a story. There you were, unbeknownst to you, but there it was. But you were able to rest on Jesus. All over the church tonight, if you would stand just very quietly, very reverently. I'm not suggesting that anybody in here tonight is not resting on the rock. I'm not suggesting that Macy right now at this point of time is not resting in Jesus and that she's not enjoying and basking in her walk with Christ and her faith in the Lord. I'm not suggesting that she's not in that she's all focused about that wedding. She's planning the wedding. Carrie, you planned yours, didn't you? You just didn't fall into it. You planned it. They're planning theirs. But from here to October, she's still got to walk that journey of faith. Chris, I'm not suggesting that you got saved real young. I could use somebody like a Jody that's really got a testimony, because I've heard your testimony. When that thing comes back trying to trouble you, gnaw at you and draw you backward, rest on the rock. Don't let the Bible said that darkness come about him. Darkness is all over us. It's all around us. Ryan, you've got a past. Don't let that define your future. Just rest in Jesus. Brother Scott, what have you got?